It's acid.
Sorry.
Okay, kind of continue. There we go. I guess we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order.
I have a point of issue.
Yes.
I believe I know Mike Houlihan.
Ah, okay. Do you see a problem with that? If you can be a fair judge of what we're asking for.
As a matter of public record, Mike and I went through a Leadership St. Louis program a few years ago.
2002.
Sorry, Mike?
2001, 2002.
Yeah, and for the record.
And we've seen each other socially as recently as the last week, just by surprise in a museum. So I just want to go on record to say that if that's an issue, I will recuse myself.
I don't believe it is. The fact is you're acting based upon the case that's presented to you, and you have no benefit either by, you know, approving or denying this request. I would just say be true to the consideration of the findings of fact in terms of determining a hardship, and I think you're good to act on this.
Mike, do you have an issue?
I don't see an issue. Is anybody else? Mike, can you, are you muted, Mike?
But there's no problem. This is pretty straightforward.
Okay, all right. I guess, and we have Henry and Mike and Roger Cliff and myself attending here. So I guess the first point on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from March 4th, 2021. Does anybody see any corrections or anything that needs to be changed on those minutes? Anyone?
I know they'd be accepted.
Okay, do we have a second? I'll second it. All those in favor of approval of those minutes? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody? All right. We go to our next thing. We have the public and agenda item comments. Anybody that wishes to make comments now about the variance request that we have before us, I'm going to swear everybody in that wishes to make comments. If you please raise your right hand, you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you. Yes. Say yes.
All right.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead and make your comments then, Mike.
So this first time we've ever done this. So if I say something that is, you know, kind of like, anyway, I'm just going to give it to you the way I am. So if you look at what I'm dealing with is the property behind my house was the old Bally's.
Right.
That was then purchased by Washington University. And due to codes, they tore the building down. And that building provided a buffer, a sound buffer and a visual buffer between me and the highway.
Right.
And when they tore it down, I can see through my trees that I've planted back there into the parking lot and the traffic. And then the volume of traffic, the volume of noise is really makes it to the point where I don't even want to sit out there.
Right.
And so it then concerns me, just like you as a citizen of University City, you're going to want to sell your home someday and you want to do something that is going to mitigate the sound and reduce the visual impact of it. So I had a sound engineer come in and look at it. And according to, I don't know what the highway noise organization is, but normally what is acceptable is in the low 50s. And mine is running in the high 50s, like 57. Mm-hmm. And what he was saying is like 51 is what is acceptable. So we have a variance, which is understandable. And I was expecting that maybe I could talk to the highway department and even pay for them to put up a guardrail 4 feet high, right where the traffic is for 1,000 feet, which is about what I'm gonna wind up paying for this sound wall that I'm proposing you all work with me on or allow me to build. So when he initially suggested it, he had me run it across my property at the highest point up this berm and then run across my neighbor's yard. Well, in talking to both of my neighbors about it, they made a recommendation that I run this wall right on my property line on the south side, just across the width of my property. Mm-hmm. And that would mitigate most of the sound. It would not be very noticeable in terms of being seen. If you look at it from the parking lot, you will see it, but you'll also not see my house and you won't see the vegetation. So although I haven't gotten a cost estimate on being able to do that, it seems like that's really what I'm proposing, to put in a 12-foot wall that is just on the other side of the wall where the parking lot is, and it would be down from the higher part, but it would be less noticeable to my neighbors and to myself, and wouldn't be the perfect sound solution, but it will help mitigate the sound and definitely eliminate the view of the parking lot.
Okay.
So that's really what I'm asking for.
All right. I think we've all seen the photos of the property. I went and looked today again at, I went onto your, I knocked at your door, by the way. I knocked on your door and your neighbor's door to see if I could see the actual yards. I walked onto your patio and took a look at it. And then I went, drove around to the Wash U side and looked at that wall. I mean, that's an impressive concrete wall with a chain link fence with barbed wire on the top that they've got. It's in pretty bad repair. Did anybody else on the in the board, anybody else do site visits to the property and take a look?
I didn't go to the residence itself, but I did go on the lot where the valley and Wash U is. And you can see along the back of the properties, I saw the chain link fence. I also noticed that's a right of way because there's electric lines and poles going along that direction behind there as well. And it's a lot of overgrowth.
Right. Let's see, Roger, did you visit?
I drove up and down the parkway to see what exists on the entire parkway. I went down onto the Wash U property below the house and listened to the parkway traffic from there. Went up into the neighborhood and went and found a place. I did not go on the property. I did not talk to anyone.
Okay.
I went down to a place down the street from the residence where I thought it sort of would mimic the amount of noise you would get from parkway. And that's probably not a valuable thing to have done because it's just supposition. But I did do a lot of research in terms of looking at the location.
Okay. All right.
Could I interrupt for just a moment? The other thing that's interesting about the sound is where a residence is elevation-wise as it relates to the sound. So down the street, much of that is the highway is below the street, but right where our property is, it's directly across from our property predominantly. And so we're getting the blast of the sound, even though the highway is moving away from our house there, we're kind of at that critical point.
Yeah.
Us as well as the Odell's next door.
Yeah, that's a...
But even when she came over to talk to me, she realized that the sound where I am, I get more of it than even she does. So that was, I don't know if, what the reason I made that comment is because Roger went and look, you know, identified what the sound was like in another location. That's why I just wanted to make that comment.
And I was going to make that point. That's a good point. So when I visited the site, you're right. The right-of-way, the expressway is about the same elevation as point of your property. And the original building was probably at least 35 to 40 feet above grade on the Warshoe. If I recall, the wall and the elevation to the back of the original Bally's building was about 18 feet high to the edge of that wall. So if you added theoretically a 12-foot wall, you'd be about 30 to 32 feet, which is what the back of that Bally's building looks like it was based on our research. So if you add a 12-foot sound wall here, you're about equivalent to what was there with the building.
Actually, not even enough. It would have to be another 5 or 6 feet higher than that.
Was it? Yeah, I was trying to gauge it on aerials and GIS and everything else. And I did it basically from the side shot where that emergency fire stair egress was on the side there that came out of the building on the second level. And to top of that, I think it was something like 28 feet or something like that. It was pretty significant.
I guess I have a question. Is the sound wall being planned to be put in that easement by where the where the power lines and the telephone lines run?
No, it is outside the easement.
Okay. Which means it's backed off from that from the chain link fence and the barbed wire by so many feet.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess at this point we can ask Cliff, what comments would you have about this sound wall at this point?
Well, the major concern that staff had was trying to remain consistent and show that there is a hardship here that needs to be addressed. And when you look at the engineering sound report, it originally talked about the recommendation of an 8-foot wall.
Right.
That said, I did speak with Mr. Alfasson of the Public Works Department. I did verify through an email that the engineer came back and confirmed that a 12-foot wall was more appropriate. My assumption is that's more to address the nighttime sound as opposed to the daytime, because what I'm reading in the report is the daytime sounds are closer to the St. Louis County standards, but the night times you get that significant amount of increase where you want to get down to around 45 or 46. So I'm thinking that that's what they're shooting for with the 12, because there's an approximate, if I recall, a 10 dB, and I'm not a sound expert, a 10 dBm or whatever it is separate between daytime and nighttime. So I the point I'm making is there's a request is to accommodate a 24-hour period and not so much just the daytime issues. And so if you determine there's a hardship, I think you determine it based on the 24-hour impact. And this is a unique request. You don't see many of these in the world. It's usually a fence, a a setback issue and whatever. I guess I always caution, just make sure whatever decision you make, you do it based on, you know, the information provided, so you can consistently move forward. If somebody comes back in the future and ask for a variance to a fence height, for example, you want to be able to say, it's not really a hardship. In this case, if you think that the difference in the sound level has created a hardship based upon, you know, the circumstances, then I think you're safe with making the decision to approve it, but you just need to make sure you note that for the record.
Is the, what about the 12-foot wall between your house and the neighbor's house?
That we do not recommend.
Okay.
Concerns, and the reason being is based upon the angle that we felt that it would still shoot through the side, so to speak. Yeah. I think Mr. Houlihan has talked to the neighbor who has actually talked about doing a similar wall to extend it in their backyard. They would obviously have to come before the board to get a variance right. of their own. But my understanding, the O'Dells, in my conversations with them, they were not opposed to the rear yard. They did have concerns with the L yes. at the property line running parallel to their property. And so that was basically the only concern I heard from them. I don't think they had an objection to it running parallel to the backyard property line, but okay. I do think they had concerns with the side yard.
Vicki, on Sunday, yesterday, she said that if I was willing to assist financially, that she'd be interested in running a wall down her, you know, 25 feet into her property as well. Now, whether that makes any sense to me at this point, I don't know. But she might, at some point down the line, she may come back for a variance for her property too. Now, she did not have the benefit of that building for about half of her lot.
Right.
But so now she's really seeing how not having that building there is impacting her sound as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I realized that after Bally's was torn down that was going to be an impact for people that had that building behind them. That blocked so much of the sight and the sound. And of course, we don't know what Washington University is going to put on that land. I think it maybe in my mind that they were looking at sometime maybe selling to Centene when Centene was in the, you know, grab every land that they could around there and build on it. But I think, and just in my own opinion is, and I worked for Washington University for almost 21 years and retired from there. They'll be pretty much close to the vest. They'll, you know, as to what they would be putting on that land or if they're going to sell it. I mean, it's.
Charles, I asked them that question. And you guys will get a giggle out of this, but he said they're going to leave it as green space. Well, so for people that are architects and landscape architects like myself, I think of woods as green space. They think of grass as green space.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be left as grass for now.
Yeah. I mean, it's valuable. Yeah. It's valuable land, but you know, who knows what they're going to do.
So I have a question for Clifford, and that is, Clifford, there are many other homes in University City closer to the parkway than this. Why is this a hardship in the city's opinion, or is it?
Well, I mean, so we look at everything from the highest and best use standpoint and the investment of every property owner. With Mr. Houlihan's circumstances here, and he could answer this better than me, but when he most likely bought that home, the establishment of that barrier wall was already there. He knew what he was vesting in. And in a sense, that has been taken away. So I guess the hardship would be the loss of that highest and best use consideration. But you know, that's a precedent. Yeah, you have to consider in making this decision. If that's a, you know, if that's something you want people to have the ability to come and get a variance on in the future, you know, if you approve this, you're setting that precedent. So it's primarily just based upon the fact that our initial thought is he bought it under one premise and he's lost that highest and best use in his opinion. Now it's his job to convince you as a board that that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I mean, I live on Pershing, and again, the people on the south side of Pershing, they have to deal with the noise of the parkway, and we tried to mitigate it when the Metrolink went through by putting in a tall chain link fence and trees that have now more easily doubled in height. Back in 2006 is when they put it in order to protect the property values of the people on Pershing. So, I mean, we realize that it needs, you try and mitigate that those things to make it their property value increase and it's just the quality of life that people have. But yeah, I agree. I mean, when Bally's was torn down, you then realized what was going on the other side, what that building was doing for you. All right. So is there any other comments that anyone wishes to make before we vote on?
Charles, just one other thing. I didn't realize it, but even the neighbors across the street from me came over, and they have noticed the increase in sound.
Oh yeah,
that have come between the Odell house and my house, and then what Clifford was saying is true, that anybody that bought a home along there knew what the situation was when they bought it. But when I bought the house in our backyard, if you ever get a chance to come by my house, is really a refuge, and it is a place that Mary and I and we have entertained a lot. Mm-hmm. We like to be out there, and this whole situation has really been, even to the point where I couldn't even sit out there because it was so, this moving sound. You get someone that's got a motorcycle or someone that's got a truck with that wants to, speed quickly from the stop sign down in Pershing. Well, it just rips right past my house.
Oh, yeah.
And any way that I could mitigate that, it would really enhance our use of the backyard.
Yeah, I mentioned to Cliff that there is a house west of you on Maryland that they did and that's closer to the West Campus building there. And they did a retaining wall and a 6-foot fence. And that's probably easily, I'd say, 15 feet tall. By the time they added everything together as a means of mitigating the parking lot situation there, you're not hearing the traffic from the parkway much, but you're getting the traffic from the parking lot there and the trash trucks, because the trash trucks pull in there, the dumpster is right there, and you'll hear that. So I guess, is there anyone else that wishes to make comments before we take a vote?
Clifford, what was the city's recommendation?
The city's initial recommendation was based upon the circumstances and being consistent with what was blocking it before. We would have no objection to the rear yard 12, as long as it could be justified as part of the need, as part of the engineering study. And that's, we got confirmation from the sound engineer that 12 foot was recommended via the email. But we are opposed to any side yard variance to, okay. to go up just because of the angle that we felt like that the side yard was not, would not mitigate the issue, but the, we're not opposed to the rear yard. We want to make sure that, you know, we don't set a precedent to allow for 12 foot fences across the board. And I think the thing is the way this abuts back to that commercially, that commercial property, that there's a lot of buffering and vegetation that's between the two, i.e. the easement. And so we don't think it's going to be a visual impact. And quite honestly, if they were getting ready to build something new to the rear, and it was some sort of planned development, we would probably approach them as a staff and say, you need to increase buffering now per the current code. And you either that do that through landscaping, vegetation, or increased fence height. And I would rather see a 12-foot fence on the residential properties than a 35-foot fence on the back type of scenario. So we think you can approve the rear without setting the precedent to put you in a spot.
Yeah, I'm assuming that chain link fence with the barbed wire on top is Washington University's.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and obviously they haven't maintained that in a great long time, I'm sure.
And that fence was probably solely put up because of a potential for a fall and a liability issue.
Yeah.
That height of a fence would be required above any area that has, I think it's more than a 3 foot fall.
Oh, that's more like an 8 or 10 foot in some places. It goes up quite a bit.
Right.
And that concrete. So WashU has to maintain that wall and I'm sure the fence. So we just have to keep an eye on it. I guess if it starts deteriorating, I guess you can notify Washington University and say they need to maintain their property.
Will do.
All right. Okay. I guess unless there's any more comments that anyone has, we can start with a vote. Roger, do you vote yay or nay? Do I have a motion, first of all, for a vote to approve? Roger? I don't know. Roger, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm not making a motion to approve.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not voting yet.
No, you're not voting yet? Okay.
Correct.
All right. Cliff, I don't know. Or John Owens?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, say again.
I didn't quite hear what your question was again. Say again, Cliff.
I'm looking for, I'm counting now the votes just to see who wants to, you know, approve or disapprove this variance request for BOA-21-02.
Right. Okay. I'm ready for a vote.
All right. Okay. And I am too. So I'm going to vote to approve based on Cliff's comments about that everything in general that we just discussed. I think they used to have quiet there, and it's the building is gone, and where we're putting this wall, it's not going to be that visible to anybody. I think it's a unique situation. So I will vote to approve. Cliff, do you vote to approve?
I'll let the board.
All right, that's fine. And John, then you approve?
Based on the report that I read and also what Cliff was talking about today, I approve the back wall.
All right. Okay. And that leaves Roger's vote at this time.
Did we get Henry? Henry's.
Yes. Henry there? Oh.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I didn't see you on my screen.
No, it's all right. I actually vote to approve as well.
All right, just the back wall?
Just the back wall, correct.
All right, and likewise. Okay. And I guess the last one is Roger.
With I'm really not happy about a 12-foot wall. With the city changing their opinion, that affects my opinion. I would vote to approve if there is a real reason why an 8 or 9 foot wall wouldn't suffice. I think a 12 foot wall is a little bit of a monster, but I will vote to approve.
Okay. And I guess if there is a, let's put it this way, if you're looking at an 8 or 9 foot wall, if you brought up the land behind that 2 or 3 feet, you know, like retaining walls, like the building farther west, would that be more amenable to you?
Well,
I'm not asking for that. I'm just saying, pardon the phrase, I'm on the fence about this. I think we need to say what we believe, and we're going to say that we're approving the 12-foot wall on the rear only. I'm just voicing the opinion. I think it's a little bit tall.
Yeah, okay. No, and that's a valid point. I mean, if you look at the reports, an 8 foot gives you 45, a 12 foot gives you 41. So I think the determination, you know, when you do it is, at what point do you stop it and say, this reaches what was there before?
Cliff, the only thing is that report is on a wall being in a different location in my yard. Okay. So that's closer to my house. And that's where I need to have the 12-foot wall further away from the house, which we would not, it would really be like an equivalent of an 8-foot wall from viewing it from my house. Now, it's going to look taller, you know, from the parking lot.
No, and agreed. And that's based upon the L-shaped wall, too, in the side yard.
That's true, yes.
You're not going to get the 45 without the L-shape. So do you subsidize it by giving it 4 more feet? Those are the type of things that you need to consider.
Okay. Well, according to that vote, then I think this is approved just for the rear wall only, and we'll go from there. Anything else you need, Cliff?
Nope, that's it. That's it.
All right. Is there any other new business or other business?
Nothing really to report at this time. What I can say, Council Member Smotherson is not here, so I'll kind of touch on some of the activity in the city. I think you've probably seen a lot of
activity. Ellis, would it be okay with you if I dropped off the call?
Sure.
Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I guess, Cliff, I'll wait to hear from you because the board has to vote on it. Is that right?
Well, they voted on it, but then I've got to send you the letter and then the process.
All right, great. Okay, thank you. Yep. I'll keep you posted.
Okay, right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, fellas.
So if you're seeing all the activity that's going on, you know, with the city, it's a lot's going on since, you know, we've got the True Hotel that's starting to move forward there at the Del Mar Harvard School. Costco is now moving forward. I think you've probably seen a lot of demolition starting over there at Olive and 170.
Okay.
I think you've probably noticed that the old office building at Del Mar and 170 has come down, so they're starting to move forward with that.
What are they putting there, Delmar and 170?
That's going to be the mixed use development, 252 unit mark. I think is it 250? Yeah, it's 252 market rate housing with a restaurant mixed type bistro. And then on the other side of Delmar and 170, Mr. Deutsch. And the Gatesworth community is getting ready to, you know, get everything finalized for for their final plan to do their expansion. But I think we're right now we're really excited to see that the actual demolition is taking place for the Costco pad.
Yeah.
And they're demolishing everything and starting to move stuff around. There will be a time when we do some land disturbance activities that could potentially require night work for a minimal amount of time. I think it's 40 days. But basically, that's because they have to take the dirt from the north side and move it across and stockpile it to the south side. And logically, it's much easier to move that across all of it at night and get it from MoDOT, to do that at night. So we're very excited. Got a lot going on. I didn't know if Council Member Smotherson was intending to update you, but I thought I'd give this board an update.
Okay. So do you have a sense of how forestry is keeping up with the storm cleanup?
I do. And don't quote me on this, but my understanding is Mr. Rose has authorized Public Works and I think Parks both, they're working together. I believe they're going to enter into some private contracts with consultants to help assist in this cleanup as quickly as possible. And I think they've even committed to even removing, if branches came down on private property, working with private property owners to help them get rid of it because it was such an excessive amount of storm damage. I don't know what the numbers are, but I know they are looking into that type of assistance.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have any items to bring up at all?
So when we write the letter, I think we need to say something that there were very specific site issues here that voted for. I mean, I'm concerned about the precedent of it, and I can understand how the trajectory of the parkway there impacts them. So I really want to make sure we're saying this is very site specific.
If the board has no problems, I'll draft up that letter and I'd be happy to send it to y'all and you can basically, ratify it based on the letter. And you can say, this looks good and we think this will cover us. Because I agree 100%. I don't want, people to come in and say, well, I don't like the sound next to me, so I want a 10-foot fence.
Right.
That type.
Yeah. This guy did a real engineering study.
Right.
Thank you for that, Clifford.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean that helps. That helps a lot. It does. All right. Well, I guess there's no other new business. I guess someone might make a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
All right. I second it. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Two votes.
Hey, guys, and